Our first reading for this morning will come from 2 Corinthians . We'll be reading from chapter 6 of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which is found on page 1056 of your pew Bibles. And we'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 13 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Let us listen to God's word for us. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. In honor and in dishonor, in ill repute and in good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet we are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our hearts is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from Chapter 4 of Mark's Gospel, verses 35 through 41. It is found on page 916 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. On that day, when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's the word of the Lord. I suspect that we're all a little afraid of something. We all know what it means to experience fearfulness from time to time. Some of us are fearful of heights. Some of us are fearful of closed-in places. But we've all experienced fearfulness And we are all afraid, at least some of the time. When I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, I remember one period when I was afraid. I was at the Bahnhof, the German train station, preparing to go visit some cousins of mine who were stationed in another part of the country. It was my first time traveling by myself in Germany, and I was extremely apprehensive about the trip. I didn't speak a word of German, and the train ride was going to be 7 hours at least. There was going to be at least 2 changeovers, and I was scared that I was going to get lost and end up God only knows where. The man at the information window was not very helpful. He pretended that he didn't know English and kind of brushed off my inquiries. And so I was already feeling extremely anxious about the trip. But to add to my anxieties, I was standing in the lobby of the train station, and I noticed a rather large man who looked rather Eastern. He wore a great big turban, and he wore Eastern-looking clothing, and he just kind of stood there in the middle of the lobby. He had his hands on his hips like this, and, you know, he just had this, you know, air of owning the place. But I was standing there watching him, and I remember being overcome with a sense of revulsion and fear. The year was around 1980, 1979, 1980. American hostages were being held in a place called Iran. The Soviet Union, our nemesis at the time, had just invaded a place called Afghanistan, and it created a great deal of international fervor, and there was the possibility of conflict with the Soviet Union there in that region. 2 American Marines had been killed in Pakistan when militants overtook the American embassy there. And I just read a book about Uzbekistan, a place called Uzbekistan, American missionaries in Uzbekistan, and all the difficulties that they were having. But this man, for me, kind of embodied all of those fears that were speaking to me, all of those fears that I had deep down inside of me, fears of people who were different, fears of Eastern-looking people who, to me, were the enemy. And here it was in the flesh, there in the lobby of the Bahnhof train station. It was funny because as I was watching him, his wife, who was sitting on some benches nearby, was watching me, watching him. And I had to be an amusing figure in my own right, a 19-year-old African-American soldier standing there, very frightened looking perhaps, very confused. And I remember as I looked at her, she smiled, and I've always appreciated that smile because it was a smile that put me at ease at least a little bit and helped me to come to know that this man and his family were not enemies, but they were human beings. Human beings simply trying to get where they needed to be. At a German train station. Our gospel reading this morning is about fear. Or I should say it's about faith and fear. In the Bible, the opposite of faith and trust in God is not doubt or atheism or anything like that, but it is fear. When we fail to put faith in God, then we allow our lives to be dominated by our fears. And that's why one of the major commands that is given over and over again in the Bible is the command, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. But the truth is, we are often afraid. We do often let our fears dominate our lives. In Mark's gospel, Jesus has been telling his disciples about the kingdom of God, about the mysterious reign of God. He's been telling them how it starts out small like a mustard seed, and then it grows and grows and grows. But this kingdom of God is mysterious, vulnerable, starts out small. But then Jesus proposes that they go on their own trip, their own journey. He tells them to go over to the other side. Let's go over, he says, to the other side. The other side of the Sea of Galilee. In Mark's gospel, the other side of the Sea of Galilee is the Gentile side. It's the unclean side, the unfamiliar side, the morally ambiguous side. It's the side of people who are not Jews. That's the side that Jesus says, let's go over to the other side. It's the threatening side, the dangerous side. It's one thing to follow Jesus, of course, when we know that Jesus is on our side, the familiar side, the comfortable side, the side that we've all grown up in. But Jesus now says, let's go over to the other side. Let's bring this kingdom movement, this God movement, over to the other side so that the people there can hear the good news. And I'm sure that it was probably a little frightening and unsettling for the Lord's disciples, just like my trip was a little frightening and unsettling for me. But that's where Jesus proposes to take them, to the other side. One of the things I like about this section of Mark's gospel is that it has all the hallmarks of a good horror movie. I don't go to horror movies anymore. Any of you go to horror movies? I don't go to horror movies anymore. But some people like to be scared, and some people like to go to horror movies. And this section here has all the hallmarks of making a good horror movie. You know, it happens in the evening, we are told, this trip that Jesus takes, this trip that Jesus proposes that his disciples take. It happens in the evening at night when scary things occur. There's a windstorm, a storm that kicks up, presaging some horror that will befall them. And then when they get to the other side, one of the first people that they meet is a man who is possessed by demons hanging out in the graveyard. And so it is a scary, scary section of Mark's gospel. But the point this morning is not the demoniac, or not the other side per se, getting to the other side, but it's the fear. It's the fear that they have in going to the other side. Jesus has said, let's go over to the other side, and they are afraid. And that fear is externalized by the storm itself. The fear of being swamped. The fear of going under. The fear of being submerged. The fear of the chaos. They are afraid. And so it's in the midst of the storm that they go to Jesus. Rabbi, why are you sleeping? Why are you asleep? Don't you know what's happening? Aren't you concerned about us? Don't you care about us? Wake up, Jesus. We are afraid. And I like the fact that Jesus is asleep through most of it. I mean, we say to ourselves, how in the world could Jesus be asleep? But in Hebrew literature, being asleep is simply a sign that one has faith and trust in God. And Jesus has perfect faith and trust in God. But his disciples are afraid, and so they wake him up. And Jesus calms the storm. Peace be still, he says. Peace be still. Calming the storm outside of them, and seeking to calm the storm inside of them as well. And he asked them, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? That's probably a good question to ask us too. Why are we afraid? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge that we are often afraid. We live in a world that is gripped in fear. And most of it has to do with our fear of the other side. We all have another side that we are deeply fearful of, another side that we are apprehensive about. Maybe it's the people who don't read the Bible the same way that we do. Those are always dangerous people, and we are afraid of them. Maybe the other side is the people who don't even read the Bible. Maybe there are people who read something else, like the Quran, and we are afraid of those kinds of people, afraid of them being in our midst. They make us fearful. Maybe the other side are the people who disagree with us on important moral issues. Maybe the other side is all of them. Maybe the other side are the people who might call the police, who we might call the police on if they look out of place. Can't be too careful. Or maybe the other side are the police themselves, who are always seem to always shoot first and ask questions later. Or maybe the other side are all those who speak a different language and who come from a different part of the world. Maybe the other side is not so much a place where we are going, but maybe the other side is the place that is coming to all of us. The other side is coming, and we have to figure out a way to stop it because we are afraid. And when we are afraid, we do all kinds of cruel and inhumane things to others. But that's what we are afraid of. We are all afraid of the other side. There are some people, of course, who like that. There are some people, of course, who want us to be afraid. There are some people who seek to exploit our fears and appeal to our fears because they thrive on the chaos. They like the chaos. They like the whipping up of the storm. They like that. They thrive in that kind of environment, and so they want us to be afraid. They want us to be afraid of one another. They want us to be afraid of the future. They want us to be afraid. But Jesus does not want us to be afraid. In fact, Jesus tells us, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Go to the other side. Let's bring the kingdom of God, God's kingdom of love, God's kingdom of mercy, God's kingdom of compassion. Let us bring it to the people on the other side, the people that you might even be afraid of. But let's go to the other side. Jesus doesn't tell us any of this because he wants us to believe that if we follow him, that everything is going to be okay. He doesn't tell us this because he wants us to believe that our lives will not be tossed about to and fro by the storms. There will be storms. The Apostle Paul knew that himself, that there will be storms. Paul himself had many storms, as he cataloged in our reading this morning. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten up, he was thrown in jail. Paul went through one storm after another. His life was a constant storm. And yet the one thing that Paul knew, the one thing that Paul took deep down inside of his heart, is that he knew that God was with him. He knew that God had his life in God's hands. Indeed, he knew that God had the whole world in his hands. And because Paul knew that, Paul would not let himself be afraid. Even as he was going through all the storms that he went through. And Jesus tells us too, do not be afraid. Do not let the world make you afraid, but trust in me. Have faith in me. Know that I have your life in my hands. If we know that our lives are in the hands of a loving God, there's no reason to be afraid. Because whatever happens to us, we are with God. In life and in death, we are with God. And because we know that we are with God, then we are free to do what God has commanded us to do. Not to be afraid, but we are free to love one another, and to even love the people who are on the other side, the people that might make us afraid. Our world is becoming a scarier place day by day. Every day seems more scary than the next. Our world is becoming a more and more chaotic place, it appears. Certainly that period of stability that characterized most of our lives since the end of the Second World War seems to be coming more and more unmoored. And I suspect, though I don't know, I'm no prophet in this area, but I suspect that our world will become more and more chaotic. The world is becoming a closer place. Things that happen in one part of the world affects other parts of the world. Thousands and thousands of refugees fleeing places in Africa and the Middle East are coming to Europe, and the people of Europe are afraid. What are we going to do with all of these refugees? What are we going to do with these people who don't look like us, who are different from us, who may have different values than we do, different religions? What are we going to do? We're afraid. Let us build more walls. Let us build more barriers. Let us protect ourselves from this other side because we are afraid. And the same here. We're afraid. We're afraid of these people coming south of the border. We're afraid of them. We're afraid of the parents. We are afraid of the children. We are afraid because they speak a different language. We're afraid because they don't look like us. We are afraid. We're afraid of one another. And we want to contain our fears. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But be loving. Be loving to one another. Because when you are loving, you are exhibiting the kingdom of God. Our ultimate other side, of course, is death. All of our fears issue out of our fear of death. We know that one day we will die. One day our lives will come to an end. Jesus knew a little bit about that too. And he wasn't afraid to face death himself. And he doesn't want us to be afraid of death either. He wants us to know that even as we journey to that other side, that God is with us there too. That God holds us in his hands on that journey too. That we have nothing to be afraid of because we belong to God. Friend, don't be afraid. Do not be fearful. Do not believe that the world is something that we need to fix, something that we need to hold on to. What Jesus has called us to do is to take the good news of the gospel to the world, to the other side. Take the good news of God's love to people who desperately need to hear it. take the good news of the gospel to the people that we would rather not be around. Take the good news of the gospel to people who we believe are basically immoral. Take the good news of the gospel to people who are different from us. Take the good news of God's love to a fallen world. And when we do that, we will be proclaiming the kingdom of God, God's coming reign of justice, peace, and hope and love for all of God's people, regardless of whatever side you live on. Let us take this good news of God's love for us to the other side. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you've called us to follow you. You've called us out of our places of comfort. You've called us out of our familiar places. You've called us out of the places where we would rather stay because it makes us feel safe. And you have called us to go out into the world to proclaim the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the coming of his kingdom. Help us not to be afraid. No matter what we hear, no matter how much our fears are exploited and incited, help us to be loving instead of fearful. Help us to be gracious instead of hateful. Help us to be inviting instead of being people who exclude. Help us to be welcoming as you have been welcoming and loving and gracious to all of us. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.